I am humbled to be in this place today. I've never been to First Baptist Huntingdon. I didn't know what to expect, but I had heard things about the church. I've heard things about the people and how they love the Lord and are trying to follow Christ. And then I see these two children go under the waters of baptism this morning. And it blesses my heart that a church still understands what is priority, and that is bringing people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing greater has happened in my life with all of the treasures that I think I have and all of the experiences that I have known and the history of my own family, which the Lord brought to this country many years ago in order to bring salvation to those who would follow my grandfather, who was not a believer, who was a very difficult man, I'll just leave it at that. But he was from Greece. He was the grandson of a king of a small nation of which my great-great-whatever grandfather ruled, over which he ruled. And I'm the oldest son of the oldest son of the oldest son, if you have any idea what that may mean in that culture. I've had family members who call me King Wayne, and I laugh because it's kind of like King Ralph, if you remember the movie years ago. But I've told my kids, they said, "Well, Dad, what does that mean?" And I said, "Well, honey," to one of my daughters, I said, "it's kind of this." I said, "Madison County has, at the time, about 60,000 people. Our island had about 30,000 people." And I said, "Really, to be the head of that kind of operation, it was kind of like being the mayor of a small town." And that kind of deflated the whole ego trip. I still call her Princess, and they jokingly call my son the Prince, and that has its own connotations there. But anyway, we come from a family that is graced by coming to America, to where my dad, having served in combat during World War II, came home and met Jesus after the war in Memphis, Tennessee, and married my little mountain mama from East Tennessee, who was a nurse at Baptist Hospital. He was her patient. She took care of him then and took care of him thereafter till he went to be with Jesus. And you know, I'm excited about the message this morning. I'll get there. But I'm excited about it because I want to tell you about a place that means the world to me. It means everything to me, a place, and it means everything to many of you as well. But I am looking forward to going to heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. I've never been there. I'd heard Huntingdon was a wonderful place. And I've been to Huntingdon because I know where Mallard's is. And we've made many trips there and hope to continue doing that. Always get a good platter and lots of it. And we enjoy that, but I'd never been to First Baptist Huntingdon. I'd heard it was wonderful, and it is, and I'm thankful for that. Well, I've never been to heaven, but I'm going there. I have that promise. I have that assurance because I have repented of my sins. I have asked God for forgiveness of my sins. I have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to cover me in His shed blood. And true to His promise, upon the sincerity of my heart and the turning of that heart toward Him, He washed me clean and came into my heart. And He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I believe Jesus tells the truth. Amen? He never lies. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It should not seem odd to us that we who are saved are now citizens of heaven. That phrase for our conversation literally means, in our language today, that little Greek word means for our citizenship is in heaven. Now then, I am interested in heaven. I have quite an investment there. My precious mother and my father, my sister, my wife's mother and father, my grandparents on my mother's side, and my grandmother on my dad's side are there. I could name a longer list of those that I don't think are there, but that would not be fair, would it? My little grandmother was 76 years old and living in our home as a patient having had cancer, and my mother nursed her back to health at 76 years of age. She was from a little village in Sicily named Corleone. Corleone, Sicily ought to be a familiar name to some of you who watch movies, but that is actually her home. At 76 years of age, I began talking to my grandmother about Jesus. She was born and raised Roman Catholic, and I have no bone to pick with Catholicism. That's not what I'm about. But she was not saved, and she needed to be born again. She was religious, but she was not saved. And I asked her, I inquired about her soul, and I sat there in my mom and dad's home when she was there, and I talked to her about the Lord, and I explained to her what it meant to be born again. Well, she knew a little about it because five of her six children had been born again. My dad was the first of the six children who came to know Jesus. Now, one by one, his younger brothers and sisters came to know the Lord. And my grandmother understood it, not because she had ever experienced it, but because she had seen it change lives in her own family. And so when I asked her, we called her Little Grandma. I said Little Grandma because she really was. She was about 4 foot nothing. And I asked her, would you like to ask Jesus to come into your heart? She said, yes, I would. Right there, she bowed her head with me and she prayed the sweetest prayer to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive her of her sins and come into her heart and save her soul. And I asked her after she completed her prayer, and it was so powerful to hear her pray. I asked her, Little Grandma, I said, according to what you just prayed, where is Jesus right now? As she looked at me, she said, he's in my heart. Oh, listen, that did a lot for me. And then she followed it up with what surely would have been expected. She said, I want to ask you something. I said, what? Does that mean I can't be Catholic anymore? I said, no, grandmother. The main thing is to have Jesus coming to your heart. Well, and by the way, she never went back to one. She started going to a Baptist church from then on to the last day of her life. Well, I am interested in heaven. I have an investment there. I have friends, cousins, and so many people from my churches that I've pastored for 42 years, from my military service years ago, and neighbors, and they're already there awaiting our arrival. You have that same experience. And many of you have your investment on the other side with children or grandchildren. And brothers and sisters, and moms and dads and friends and so on, who are already there as part of the great cloud of witnesses on the other side. I know about heaven as the dwelling place of God. That's really what I want to talk about. Heaven, the center of God's power and presence. We know about heaven as the dwelling place of God. It is certainly that and much more. You know how important Washington, D.C. seems to be to the carrying out of the nation's business, and how important New York City with the United Nations is supposed to be in carrying out the business of the world. Well, heaven is more important than that. For it is the place out of which the carrying out of the entire universe's movements, activities, transactions, and future are even now taking place. Heaven is a busy place. You can't read about heaven in your Bible without taking note. It's pretty busy up there. I've been to Atlanta. And I used to live in Great Britain for a little while, and I've traveled on the motorways over there. The highways in Atlanta are awful. I don't have to get an amen because it's like a law of physics. It is an absolute. Traffic is terrible. I never knew you could have 14 lanes supposed to be going in the same direction at generally the same speed. I had a friend who was a pitcher for the Atlanta Braves years ago, and we would go to watch him throw ball for them. And I told my wife, I don't mind coming down here to see them. And they're fine people. And I said, but if I never, ever had to come back to Atlanta again, I'd be okay. Just don't like it. I've heard of Grand Central Station, never been there. But even that doesn't carry a candle to the brightness and the activity of what's going on in heaven. Brother Wayne, how do you know such things? Well, I have this book that I don't simply read it, as many of you. I study the book. The pages of this book tell you about this great place called heaven. So I want to share some simple things with you. First of all, heaven is a place of organization and planning. Ephesians 3:8 told us about the unsearchable riches of Christ, but Ephesians 3:9 says, and to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Heaven is a place of organization and planning. Job secondly tells us of the meeting of the heavenly council. I presume that your church has some kind of council. If it doesn't have a council, it has committees. Somebody said that a giraffe is an animal that was created by committee. And that makes sense to me. But committees or councils, man, even in heaven at the time of Job, the council certainly included the Holy Triunity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But it must have also had the 24 elders that we read about in Revelation. Micaiah ben Imlah tells us about a vision he had that there were angels in heaven at a council when Satan came, who proposed a means to trip up King Ahab by being a lying spirit in the mouths of his false prophets. Third thing is that from heaven, directives move out to the earth. Now you know the messenger angel. His name was Gabriel. Gabriel brought messages to the earth. You find him in Daniel 9:21, Luke 1:19, and Luke 1:26. Where Gabriel brought messages to Daniel and later to Mary and to Joseph. Acts 27 says, "For there stood by me," Paul said, "by me this night the angel of God, God whose I am and whom I serve." Heaven provides directives to angels. And then heaven has an organized army. I was in the military a long time ago. I was in the Air Force, and I made a sergeant when I was in the Air Force, and I was proud of my service to my country way back then. But it would be nothing like being in the army of God, the organized army of God in heaven. Jude 1:9, Revelation 12:7, Michael is entered as the archangel and the commander of the armies of God. So heaven is a kingdom, has organization and planning, gives directives, and has an army that carries out the will of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 tells us about the prophets, the false prophets, and then the true prophets of God. You've heard the expression, and I'm not from Texas, but I took basic training there. I went to technical school there, but I remember hearing a phrase. I've got one of my dearest friends who lives in Texas, and they have a phrase that says, "Don't mess with Texas." You ever heard that? Don't mess with Texas. Well, let me tell you today that no nation on the face of this earth, including the might of the United States military, has even an ounce of the power that belongs to heaven. That's how powerful it is. We get people afraid of Russia, and they're afraid of China. They're all scared what North Korea and the little fella's going to do over there. And he could do some damage. I understand that. And I'm not demeaning the fact that they could harm people, but they do not have the kind of power that God has. They do not have the army that God has. 100 million in the army of China? Well, that's nothing compared to the legions of angels which the Lord has. Then heaven is a place to worship God when you read in the Revelation in chapter 4, and you find those verses where the 24 elders fall down and worship God and worship Him that lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You have created all things, and for Your pleasure they are and were created." Do you know worship is not all we're going to do in heaven? I used to think when I was a kid, and I love to sing, by the way. I think music's wonderful. I love to sing, love to be part of a choir. So thank you, choir, and thank you, Brother Henry, and your excellent pianist. Oh, my goodness, we're going to take her and her family back to Jackson with us. But you love music. You worship the Lord with good music. And I used to think, though, when I was a kid, and they started talking about heaven and worshiping God all the time, and I remembered going to church. Now, I wasn't the easiest kid in church. I'm not encouraging anybody, but I had a difficult time sitting still. Hello? In fact, I can remember one time I just got tired of it. So I crawled under the pews, because we had two, I don't know what you call them, outlets, inlets, or sublets, or whatever, in the back, sections of pews, and I crawled under those pews and went out the door, came up, went out the double door. Years later, Brother Hiram LeMay wrote a book about his life as a pastor. He had 2.5 pages dedicated to me. He really did. I was so blessed he could not spell Ferropolis. And people didn't really know who he was talking about, except his son Mark, who works with the Tennessee Baptist Convention. Mark told me one day, "Wayne, you're so lucky to have that name." And he explained what he meant. Well, I thought, worship all the time? You know, hey, I loved playing ball. Baseball, that was my game. I loved baseball. I was a catcher, and I loved to catch a ball, and I loved to pitch, and I loved to play whatever position they put me in. I just gave it everything I had. Got invited to a tryout camp for the Cincinnati Reds back in about 1976, and I went, and I thought I was, you know, really good. I'd come home from the service, and I was ready till I got to camp, and I saw some real athletes. They even took care of themselves. They were in condition. They looked like all those Greek statues. Now, I could throw a ball. I could hit a ball. I could catch. I had a good eye. But I had these same two legs that I have now, and I just couldn't run. Time me on the 40-yard dash, the old scout spit his tobacco and said, All of my years hadn't seen but one man run the 40 slower than you did. I kind of smiled, started to trot off and turn around and ask him. I said, well, who was that one man? He said, name was Johnny Bench. I said, that's okay. Well, I didn't make the cut. But I couldn't imagine sitting still all the time doing nothing but singing, how great thou art, how great, amazing grace. You know, after a while, you want to do something different. I saw a video clip of your pastor, Brother Fred, on a table. I saw a body move in ways that I knew God had not ordained for me to ever move. I had to watch it a couple of times. I'm sorry, but I did. I thought, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that. So God bless your next pastor. If he has to live up to that. Whew. Anyway, there are other great fine qualities besides that. But I'll tell you that I could not sit still long enough to do that all the time. So I figured, okay, what's my Bible say about heaven and what we do there? Well, we're also going to sing. We're going to worship God. We're going to be praying in heaven. He's going to be right there, and we're still going to be praying. Isn't that good? Because even though we're going to be there with all of the redeemed of all time, we're going to be lifting our hearts to God who's there in prayer, and he's going to be able to hear every single prayer. We'll just get to talk to him. It's like the song we've been singing down here, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And it's going to be that way up there. He'll be walking with us, talking with us. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. I hope you want to go to heaven. I heard the preacher asking that of his congregation. He preached about heaven. Who wants to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand. But one man. And he knew this man. He said, well, I know he didn't hear me. So he went, preached a little longer. You know how we do. And then he said, everybody who wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. And everybody raised their hand but that one dear brother. Finally he asked him, he said, dear brother, I know you. Don't you want to go to heaven? He said, well, of course I do. I thought you was getting up a load right now. Well, we all want to go. Some of you don't want to go right now, but you want to go. And I want to tell you, I want to go to heaven. Amen? Oh, it's got to be better than that, folks. Death angel comes sweeping through here. Some of y'all are going to be disappointed. Don't you want to go to heaven? Whoa, yes. Well, the angels too, by the way, are citizens of heaven. Did you know that? The angels are citizens of heaven. They're not rulers of heaven. They are servants like you and I to our Most High. Now, they may be a matter of curiosity to you. I know some of the ladies' classes sometimes get their little angels. They get the little angels. They get little angel statues here. We've got a Sunday school class at our church, and they have their little, they love the angels. I said, well, I love the angels too, but you know, I like their boss better. And I don't serve angels. I serve the Most High. You know, the angels are spiritual beings, but they're created beings. They have bodies. Now, their bodies are different from yours and mine, but they have bodies. Descriptions of them are given in your Bible. They're creatures of redemption. I have a difficulty when I hear people say that the angels can't sing anything at all about redemption. Well, then, you know, they can't sing the songs that we say. Well, wait a minute. You must have missed some parts of your Bible, because the angels tell you about being redeemed. 2/3 of them, you know, in the rebellion where the devil got 1/3 of them, the dragon wrapped his tail around 1/3 that followed him, Lucifer, the bearer of light, who was a false individual, and they followed him, and they had war with Michael, the archangel, and the angels of God, and they lost, and they were cast away from heaven. But the angels are redeemed, the ones who are on God's side. If you don't believe it, read Revelation 5 and hear their song when they say, "He redeemed us." I don't know how much clearer you get than that, that angels too had to be redeemed. John said, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and the angel said unto me, See, you do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That's your word of God. Incidentally, the angel called himself of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Then worship God alone. The angel told John, don't bow down to me. See, you do it not. Because I keep the words of this book, worship God. The word of God is known in heaven, for its author is there. It must be for the angel to know what the words are in order to keep them. Even as you and I must keep the words of this book, then every knee shall bow to Jesus. And if you want a blessing, this is my last point. Hello. Every knee shall bow to Jesus. Therefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In heaven, the day will come when every knee of heaven will bow to Jesus, as every other knee bows in every corner of the universe, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you want to go to heaven? I'm already a citizen of the kingdom of God. Heaven is its capital. Now, I've got more to say about that, but I won't have time to say it today, such as God's going to move. So what? Well, heaven and earth shall pass away. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but we don't have time for all that this morning. But I have not been to that capital, but I've been to Washington, D.C. It's pretty impressive. But it doesn't hold a candle to heaven, the great light of the capital city of God. For those of you who have not yet trusted the Savior, there's only one way to make your reservation for heaven. And Jesus said, I have a place prepared for you. He's even got a place in a book for your name to go in. And He can take the place away when you reject Him with scorn. But He wants to put your name there because you repent and believe. If you don't have a Savior, Jesus wants to be your Savior, and He wants to put your name in the book of life. Two things, only two things can happen. And you're the one who decides, will my name go in the book or will my place be removed from it? But let me add this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, when I was born again, I didn't know as much about hell as I think I know now because I was a 10-year-old boy. I got saved in Vacation Bible School in Memphis, Tennessee. And if you were saved in Vacation Bible School, you know how wonderful that is. And those of you who taught and invested your life in the children in Vacation Bible School, you know how wonderful it is when these children pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart. And then we see that testimony of the children as they undergo the waters of baptism to show the old me is dead and is risen to a new way of life. What a wonderful testimony, kids, you made this morning. I don't know where all you are, but I thank you and commend you for showing us your testimony of baptism. There may be others this morning who have done the same thing, said, yes, I want Jesus to come into my heart, and He came into your heart. Your ministers are going to be here at the front in just a few moments. And when the invitation time is given, you grab a hold of mom or dad or grandmom or granddad or some dear friend beside you, and you tell them it's time for me to come and belong to this body because I already belong to Jesus and I want to belong to this church. And you come and make that public profession of your faith in Jesus. Repent of sins. Those who have not done it, repent of your sins. Trust God alone. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Come do that today. Quietly stand with me if you will. With our heads bowed, lifting our hearts to the Lord, as we prepare to sing this hymn of invitation, you be obedient to Christ today all over this house, whoever you are, who needs Jesus, you come and receive Jesus. Enjoy His heaven at your appointed time. Make ready today, O Lord God, in the name that is above every name. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Speak that our souls would hear and be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.